Dude, the return on investment is insane. For every pound invested, it's producing £10.66. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty darn good. They do awesome. They're epic business owners doing an epic job.
Indeed. It's a big day, my friend. Welcome to episode 200. We've been talking about this for at least the past 10 episodes. Congratulations, my friend. You've made it to episode 200 of the Dan Bradburn Podcast.
It's my birthday.
Woohoo! The bicentennial. You did well. I feel like it would be insulting for us to even have me complaining about anything. We should just pitch on and just celebrate awesomeness of 200. By the way, for the viewers and the listeners on the podcast, I've actually laid out this entire show.
I was gonna
Dan
say,
doesn't know much about what's going on.
Other I was than about to give the disclaimer. Like, I have no idea what's going to happen. So this could, I apologize in advance. It's his fault.
Yeah, you will be happy. You've been roughly briefed on everything except for the hero of the week. That's the only thing you're unaware of.
Okay.
So you should be good. But let's go ahead and jump into it and let's talk about the news of the week.
The news of the week is Oxford Union celebrates 200 years of free speech.
Yes, it does. By the way, there's a theme to this podcast, Dan. Do you have any idea or guess what it might be?
I'm going to guess around 200.
Yeah, everything that we talk about today is revolving around 200 in honor of your 200th episode. So Oxford Union, the most probably distinguished debate club in the world, the epicenter of some of the best speakers and the most powerful people in the world, has been around for 200 years.
Yeah, I'm excited. You've got a pretty darn special guest speaking there next week.
Yes, in fact, kicking it off, they've got Peter, is it Thiel or Thiel?
I pronounce it Thiel, but I don't.
You're probably right. Yeah. Peter Thiel, he was the founder
I'll ask him next time I see him.
Yeah, will you? Yeah, he was the founder of, is it PayPal?
One of the original investors, yeah. Yeah, he's part of the PayPal mafia, so to speak, that have been behind loads of massive companies, yeah.
Yeah, and he's coming out to speak at the Oxford Union, which is kind of a weird thing for us to talk about because, listen, there's only so many things I could find that had the number 200 affiliated with it, right? But for those of you watching or listening and you're not a member of the Oxford Union, I get it. You can watch it because they rebroadcast all of their episodes or their shows and their debates on their YouTube channel. So just go. In fact, by the way, you like TED Talks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oxford Union, I'm going to put this out there. The Oxford Union YouTube channel is better than TED Talks.
Without sounding critical, I mean, it's cool. I'm just looking at the list on the site now. Love Stephen Fry, you know, Rio Ferdinand, not a fan, but I can appreciate some of what he's done. Ian McKellen, brilliant. Absolute legend. But the fact that the prominent picture on this webpage is Theresa May, I'm not so sure. I mean, it even says, oh yeah, Winston Churchill, Lloyd George, but Theresa May,
Well, you may not like her, but she certainly had some.
Well,
influence.
To be fair, yeah. she ran the country, so yes. That's one of the top seven, where we are now, sixth major economies on the planet for brief.
So you may not be a fan, but she probably deserves it. By the way, that's what's great about the Oxford Union is there are people that they have as guests because they embrace free speech. There are some people you would probably hate to have, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like back to Ray Dalio, right? Find the smartest people you can who disagree with you.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I would not surprise me if Ray has been a speaker there as well.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, they get literally the world's best athletes, the world's best entertainers, the world's most influential politicians. I won't say best because I'm not sure we can go there. But anyway, Peter Thiel's coming out to kick off their 200th bicentennial. That's pretty cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Samuel.
All right. Well, now let's do this. Let's move over to the fail of the week.
Business fail of the week. So this actually goes all the way back to 1825.
Which I must admit, I missed by 2 years.
What?
It's right. Yeah. Okay. It's not quite 200 years. It's 198.
I was trying to figure out the connection. Yeah, all right, good. Yeah,
so I had to round for a couple of things.
So this panic is well known because it was the first panic recession, yep. Economic crash that wasn't influenced by an external factor like a war, for example.
Yes,
and specifically. This
shut down 6 banks, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yeah. And it was acute to London, which was a dominant power in the world at the time. And they say it's the start of the kind of modern economic cycles.
Right, yeah, like booms and busts. Right, yeah.
Right, so we'd had the Napoleonic Wars, which had been a massive boom time for the victor. So there was a lot of money being made throughout the kind of whole British, system. Yeah. But the... Subsequently, there was a massive crash in the publishing industry, right?
And I think this is interesting, right? Because anytime you see like an economic upheaval, whether it's the Great Depression, the Great Recession, industries change, industries get redefined. And in this one specifically, what happened was the Gutenberg's printing press kind of like all of a sudden had a redefinition. Because... Yes. Prior to this, it was nothing about wealthy, prestigious books. That's all it was. But after this crash, nobody could afford them.
Right.
So they had to develop cheap ways to print.
Right. And I suppose to make the connection, so some people have already zoned out. What does this mean to me and mean to me today? What it means is that whenever there's a crash, there's typically innovation because people look for new ways of doing things. Right. So the fact that the number of publishers didn't reduce, but it radically altered the industry, right? Yeah. And this ties back to what we were speaking about an episode or two ago about ChatGPT.
Right.
And it's kind of like this artificial intelligence thing. And Topher, it scares the bejeebers out of me. I'm excited.
Me too.
I'm excited and horrified all at the same time.
Yeah, I am as well. I'm finding myself already when I'm lost or confused, turning to ChatGPT. Wow. Already.
Yeah, right. But it is funny, right? Because I flip-flop. On the one hand, I go, it is changing the world, literally right in front of us. But when I feel the fear, I remind myself that how many innovations have we already had just in my business lifetime, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So like the last 20 years. And I kind of go, like, fundamentally, the internet as we know it, certainly broadband, fast enough to stream video, etc., like all that's new and it has changed everything.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't have this show, right, if it hadn't.
Right, correct. Yes, well, the rise of podcasts, whether you got online advertising,
mm-hmm.
it basically did not exist 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, I actually remember the launch of Google Pay Per Click.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm old, dude. Not as old as you, admittedly. But.
Admittedly, yeah. I'm depressed now. By the way, if you want to know more about ChatGPT, stay tuned because our next podcast after this one, episode 201, is the main news of the week as well.
Yeah. There's some stuff you've got to keep your eyes and ears open because whether you like it or not, it's coming.
Yeah.
And if you're not ahead, you're going to be behind.
You're going to be behind. And by the way, if this take an opportunity right now, if you want to know about that episode when it comes out, make sure you like and subscribe. Hit that bell and make sure that you're subscribed. So when we release that podcast, you'll be the first to know. All right. Should we move on? Should we talk about the hero of the week? You don't know who it is.
I'm horrified.
Fast money. Hit that button, baby. Let's go. Hero of the week.
I'm fearful.
The hero of the week, my friend, is none other than you. You are the hero of the week because this is your 200th episode, and without getting a little soft and squishy and mushy, dude, I'm really proud of you. Let's put this in perspective, right? Like, the average podcast lasts less than 6 months. How long has yours been around?
I think the first episode was in 2016, so it's 6 years.
Yeah. Now, granted, it's not been that good up until maybe the last 10, 15 episodes when you got a special guest helping you out. But nonetheless,
all right,
that was just too good of a setup here.
The clubs are coming off. I would still point out the most downloaded episode of all time are the top several, none of which contain you. So that's, I'm just putting that out there.
But that's because they've been around for so long. Anyway.
Some say classics.
Yeah, the classics. Anyway, listen, I'm proud of you. I think you should be the hero of the week, because not just because of the podcast, but because of what you do for entrepreneurs. I mean, you'll never brag about this, at least on your podcast, but I sure as hell will. Your ROI with your clients is insane, dude. You produce, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's for every dollar that they invest with you, they produce every pound that they invest with you, they get a £10.66 return on that investment. That is insane, dude.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, they do awesome. I mean, they're great business owners.
You do awesome with them, right? I mean, yet if they were here, they would also say, yeah, but those increases weren't just because we were doing things. It was because of the advice that you gave them, or the advice that somebody else in the mastermind gave them. And I'm just really proud of you, man.
I think you do a great job. Thank you. I mean, look, I let me give credit where it's due.
No. This is your podcast. It's not about me. This is all about you, buddy.
Oh, dear Lord. Right. So, yeah, look, I sometimes people ask. And so, first of all, let's talk about that. Data is a snapshot in time. So specifically, the last time we did the study, because we collect the financial data for all our clients, and we collate it, and therefore, because I view it like a fund, one of our company values is we treat your business as our own.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so we collate it and see how it performs. And the last time this was revised, because we do it on a kind of an annual basis, it includes COVID bounce data. So that truthfully and transparently, that number is a high, and it's already, when it next gets done, it will have come down a bit.
I understand, but COVID made everything for the most part have some little hiccups in it.
Right. I mean, it is also true to say that we've been doing it for about 4 or 5 years now, and it's never dropped below about a £7.35.
That's still a return. Really impressive, dude. £7 ROI.
Well, let's speak about this, because there's a lesson for business owners in there that is less abrasive than, oh yeah, invest in my mastermind programs. I think that if people say, how do you do it, the truth is one of my skills that is underrated is the ability to pick the winners.
And I
think that sometimes friends in the business training space give me a hard time for not having more rapid growth. That's and until I point out, that's consciously done, because we turn down.
Yeah, you have I'd say a relatively high rejection rate.
Right, but because we're clear about the criteria about what companies work. Because if you think about it logically, okay, you're going to go, everybody wants a company to succeed. Nobody's coming in going, oh, I want my company to fail. Not really.
Right, yeah.
So everybody has that intent. But actually, if you really look in it and take the emotion out of it, some businesses just are not going to work. And so I'll only take somebody into my program if I really feel they're going to get an epic return on investment.
Yeah.
So, and so it's not, I'm not trying to be philanthropic and all holier than thou. No, it makes business sense.
Sure.
I don't want to work with somebody for 1 year. I want to stick with somebody for 5 or 10 years. So in fact, I'm going to distract this uncomfortable attention on myself to shouting at Chad on my team. And also big up one of our clients. So on that first image of the website, I've raved about this 1,000 times, because we had some testimonials done about 5 years ago. Because our clients who stick with us have grown so much, there was one testimonial from a guy called Rob Stone, who's the founder of InstaSpark.
He's got such a great story, man. Yeah.
Well, it's amazing, because fundamentally he founded a business. So the testimonial on the website says, I can't believe this is still up there, in this place on the website, it's from 250K to 1.3 million. So literally, in the first...
And by the way, he's way past $1.3 million now. Yeah.
So I had a rant, and we revised the testimonials, because Rob's now been with us 5 years. So in the first year, or first 18 months, he went from 250,000 revenue to 1.3 million. He's now on the record, so we wouldn't betray any client's confidence without their explicit permission.
Yeah.
That guy's got multi seven-figure profits.
Yeah.
He's got tens of millions in revenue now. Yeah.
And this is a guy, I've heard his story, who started that whole business on a credit card.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it was a cliche, and he's well known in our community. Yeah. So this is not typical results.
Correct.
Right, it's not typical results. Yeah. But he's grown that thing from a £500 funded on a bad debt credit card to a tens of millions annual revenues, multi seven figures in net profits. Yeah. And then he used some of the cash flows to buy other business, found other businesses.
He bought one of the businesses from one of the people inside the mastermind.
Correct. Where he bought out his supplier. He bought a complementary business called Garage Flex from one of our other mastermind members who's retiring because he was 70 years old. He joined the mastermind program to sell it. Anyway, so it just makes me laugh that we still got a testimonial on there that says from 250K to 1.3 million
right.
when he makes more than that in annual profit in one of his companies.
Yeah.
But by the way, that speaks to the being able to pick them.
Yeah.
Right? Because
absolutely right.
Because even though the return on investment in 1 year is epic, the returns compound over time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you pick a winner,
like, winners continue to win.
Winners continue to win, right? It's kind of like a Tom Brady scenario. So, there you go.
Oh, probably not the best example right now with Tom. He's having a little bit of a rough time since Giselle left him, but that's okay. We have a chance to go into the Super Bowl, but it's unlikely.
I feel like we're using our audience, but I still feel the need to say, I mean, how many Super Bowls has that guy won?
Seven.
Yeah.
Seven. He's got seven
rings.
More
than any other player ever?
I think so, yeah. I'm not too sure, yeah. It's pretty insane.
So, winners win.
Winners win.
I'm not. All right. I'm not going to bet against him.
All right, let's move on to the Book of the Week.
Absolute classic. So I'm a fan of this author. He's just a legendary writer. Is Ron Chernow. Written some great books, House of Morgan, but this book is a business classic. It's Titan, which is about the life of John D. Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in modern history, he's the richest man who ever lived in modern history in adjusted terms, inflation adjusted. So he was the first billionaire on the planet.
Do you know why he's the Book of the Week here? Because if he were alive today, he would be
200 years
roughly old. Roughly 200. Once again, we had to estimate it a little bit, but pretty close to it. Yeah.
See, I feel like you should have just made up and said that his birthday is actually on January.
On the same day. Yeah, yeah. Would have been a good story.
And quickly proved it's not true, but hey. I mean, if you have not read this book, read it.
Yeah.
Because Rockefeller is one of those names where people attach a lot of meaning to it, but Chernow is a great writer, well-researched.
How do you say his name?
Chernow.
No, not the other.
Or Rockefeller.
Say it again?
Rockefeller.
Okay. I thought you said Rockefeller.
No, Rockefeller.
Rockefeller. Yeah.
Yeah, John D. Rockefeller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sure. So, look, I mean, he was the first ever billionaire.
By the way, this book is a Titan book. This thing is massive. Like, how many pages is this?
I don't know. I think it's about 500.
Let's see here. Oh my God. The index is just half the book. Oh, here we go. It's roughly 679 is the page I'm at. So it's basically 700 page book.
Yeah, but it's what I love about it is it's well researched and there's so many lessons. I mean, and I realized when I picked up this book that I'd heard a lot of the fables, but what's fact and fiction?
When I picked up the book, I just had a hernia.
As in somebody who thought about clearly about dominating an industry, about buying supply chain, pushing out the competition, you might not agree with everything that he did.
Sure, yeah.
But it's fascinating how he was so frugal and he was about where the money meant, how he was about putting the right people in the right seats, how he was about market share, how there's just such profound lessons. And so don't be put off by a 600-page book. I would say buy it.
Yeah.
Read the first couple of chapters and see if it's for you. But it's well-written, well-researched, epic.
Pop quiz. Do you know who one of his major business partners was?
Andrew Carnegie?
Possibly, but the other one, a little less known, unless you're from the state of Florida like I am, Henry Flagler.
Remind me who Henry Flagler is.
So Flagler was one of his key investors.
Is he The Last Train to Paradise?
Yeah, the book, right. The Last Train to Paradise. So Henry Flagler, it's an interesting comparison.
You're going to have to sell Flagler because some of the people listening to this going, who the hell is this
guy? So it's an interesting comparison. So Flagler and Rockefeller were business partners, and Rockefeller was kind of like, in our last podcast, we were talking about when is enough enough, right? And Rockefeller was one of those guys that enough was never enough. He was always getting more and more and more. Flagler wasn't that way. He was like, I love hotels. I love traveling. I'm going to create a business around traveling. And he started building railroads, and he started building hotels, and he would build a railroad, build a hotel, and he was the one who built the railroad all the way down to Key West. And it is an amazing, you've read the book. Have you read the book?
Yeah.
I can't remember if you did or not. Yeah. It's also a great comparison to Rockefeller Hill, because this, he wasn't as concerned about money. He was concerned about just being happy. And he had this mission. I want a train to go all the way down to Key West. And just an incredible story.
By the way, epic. For those who haven't been, go down to Key West. It's an amazing trip. I didn't take the train down, but I saw
the train's dead.
Yeah, but they've got they've still got the memorial, like a museum there. And Yeah.
The hurricane knocked out the railroad. And so you can, but if you drive down, you can still see the railroad, pieces of it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so epic book. Pick it up.
All right, let's move on to the quote of the week. Also a 200 theme.
Quote of the week is from Napoleon Bonaparte. Victory belongs to the most persevering.
Yes, and I just thought that was a befitting quote today, my friend, because you've persevered on this podcast. We're at 200 episodes. Most podcasts die after like the... they're less than 6 months, so you figure what they maybe have 20 that they get done before they die, and you've got 200. Well done,
10x. I think there's a special level of perseverance. I've had 6 months with you now, my friend.
I was gonna say this is the setup. Yep. I'll take
which
that
feels
one.
Like 200 years.
Yeah, you know what? I've got to let you get the last word in on that. It's your podcast. You should be proud.
Well, thank
good
you.
Good insult.
Listen, I'm really enjoying doing this podcast, and I hope
with me.
I hope with me. I hope the listeners are too. And so, comment. Let us know what you like to see. I mean, it's funny, Tova. People sometimes. We should have done this for this episode. Go back over the best episodes. So I'm just gonna. I'm gonna shoot from the hip.
Maybe we could do that at 201. We could do that on 201. We could do a best of.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll shoot a few now because there was a member who's been a member for several years that I was talking with, and she was talking about...
Is this Lisa Caddo again?
No, it wasn't. No. But it was a member who was talking about selling her company, and we were having a quick chat about it, and I said, have you listened to the episode that I did with John Warlow? She said, I'm reading Built to Sell. Right, with a previous book of the week, Built to Sell, great little book.
You did a podcast with John Warlow.
Yeah, there you go. So I obviously don't speak about it enough. And I said, "Oh, going." And she went, "You interviewed John Warlow."
Book.
And I, Built to Sell is a great book. And so my story goes because John Warlow interviewed me for his podcast, the Built to Sell podcast, or Built to Sell Radio, as he calls it. It's kind of cool. It's about company owners that have done exits. So one of my exits is on there. My first seven-figure exit is on there. Then I reciprocated and invited him on my show. And he spoke about Built to Sell. And I told the story about how his first book, Built to Sell, was epic and helped me do my first seven-figure exit. But his second book, which was called The Automatic Customer, which was all about recurring revenue businesses, actually cost me the sale of a business. But you have to go back and check out the episode to figure out. So he's kind of won me one, lost me one. But that's a great episode. We've had, of course, the legendary Keith Cunningham.
Oh, that man is amazing.
I can't get enough of that guy, and that episode was great. We've had Scott
Keith Cunningham is the rich dad from Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, he taught Robert Kiyosaki. He's thanked in the original Rich Dad Poor Dad. I think he's the only non-Kiyosaki family member to be thanked for he's thanked for his financial wisdom. Who else has been on? Oh, the unbelievable Jay Abraham.
As if that somehow violates, gives him permission for all the copyright infringement that Kiyosaki probably was guilty of. I said thank you. What more do you want?
Hold on. Allegedly. Tova's views don't represent... Yes. I think Keith would agree with you, though. But neither of us are lawyers.
Right.
So the phew, like that gets us out of everything, just saying we're not lawyers.
And allegedly. So allegedly.
There's a link below for Tova's DM. So just send the hate mail or legal letters directly there. So who else has been on? Jay Abraham, you know, the $6 billion man. Yeah. One of the... Forbes put him as one of the top 10 marketing minds alive today.
The owner of this studio was on your podcast as well.
Yeah, Nigel Shanahan. We've also had Scott Martineau and Clayton Mask, two of the three co-founders of
Fusionsoft, now Keep.
Known as Keep.
Well done.
And there's loads of people. We've had people that have won the Sunday Times Fast Track 100 list. I'm saying it that way because I've forgotten the gent's name. there's just some great episodes. Yeah. So it's well worth subscribing, going back in the feed, and having a look at some past episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, my friend. Well, congratulations on your 200th episode. I'm proud of you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. So if you're liking this stuff, comment, let us know how we can make this thing better because we're trying to revise it and improve it. And despite Topher being on board, I think we're doing a pretty good job. Okay, we can edit that better.
We won't.
I've got a better way of delivering the joke now. I should have built it all up and said, and we're working really hard to improve it, revise it, and I think we're doing a pretty good job, despite Topher being involved.
It's the timing. Yeah, that pause is really what you needed to make that work.
But anyway, as always, if you want a better business, you need to become a better business owner.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. Three things you need to do now. Number one, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you do not miss an episode. Also, get on over to Amazon to get a copy of my latest book, Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity, 9.5 Steps to Improving Your Profits and Cash Flow. Also, join our Facebook group, the Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity community, to connect with other business owners.